AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday, post-Super Tuesday, and not as Super Wednesday. I guess we'll just go with that. Matt, Eric here. Stein will join us here to give us a look at how things broke down last night. But first, let's start off. How great was it to have the Devil's Advocates guys in town here? A heck of a show. They had a lot of fun. Park Tavern, fantastic. And by the way, the patty melt at Park Tavern is the tastiest patty melt I've ever had. Hands down, that's not even close. Just absolutely delicious. We had a great time last night. Thanks to all the listeners who showed up out there, that it was, you know, it was a lot of fun, and we got to see a lot of, well, some definitely a historic night, but I mean, really technically all nights are historic, really. But it was a lot of fun to be out there It was a good time. And so once again, thanks to the guys from the Devil's Advocate, just top notch, just real nice. Dom and Mike, they were just, is it Mike?
I don't know.
He kept calling me Mark. So, Steve, Chris, shoot. Is it a shoot? I think it's shoot. You know, I had no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah. No. 952-946-6205.
If I don't meet someone in person, it's just like, oh, yeah, the guy with the long hair.
And my name is once again what? All right.
You're the guy in the blue shirt.
Yeah, that's it for today. And some days the guy's in the blue shirt's in the green shirt or red shirt.
I get confused by that.
Yeah, I know. I'm confused by how that happened last night. Now, once again, I am not playing favorites here. It is what it is. I basically, in an attempt to tell all these Bernie fans who are out there saying, hey, we're gonna lose. We're gonna lose. If Biden, we're gonna lose again. And so that got old real fast this morning, FYI. So I posted that here's how you do it. I voted for Elizabeth Warren, which I did. I rarely tell people who I voted for. I voted for Elizabeth Warren. I did. I thought she had the best chance. She still had a chance when I voted for her. I liked her policies. It doesn't rest well with me that she did so poorly last night. But at the same time, her path to the presidency is closed. Henceforth, am I sore about it? Yeah, but that's politics. So I will, and since Minnesota's done, I can't vote in Wisconsin or the Dakotas or Iowa. Or Iowa's done too, but I can't vote anywhere else. Since Minnesota's done, all I can do is wait for the Democrats to pick their candidate, and I will support them. So, see, was it that freaking hard? Is it that hard for you? It was a shocker. Because, and I will tell you this, and I'll get into this more with Stein when we come back. Minnesota and Massachusetts hurt Bernie. The Texas thing didn't. There were two distinct things last night that definitely, you know, left a mark on the Bernie campaign. One was, once again, in southern states, losing badly. You picked up, what was it, 55, like 58 votes. It wasn't even more. Was it 60 delegates? California was a massive win for Bernie Sanders. Biden got half of those delegates back with Alabama by itself. He got a 30-delegate advantage in Alabama. He had a 35, it was like 33 in North Carolina, 35 in Virginia. Those three states alone completely negated the big win he had in California. And although Colorado and Utah and Vermont are nice, it doesn't offset. That's why he was able to extend his lead. But when you're talking about Minnesota, I got to tell you the truth. When they called it for Biden, I was flabbergasted. I really was. Now, I want to read, where is it here? This is off of Minnesota Daily over the campus. Bernie Sanders won all university area precincts by a wide margin, claiming polling places in Marcy Homes, the West Bank, Prospect Park, and the campus of Wiseman Art Museum. I can't say that it's not something I considered, said Michael Reinhardt, a student organizer for Students for Bernie. I kind of expected it to happen that he would win Super Tuesday states. He said, looking forward, he thinks that the primary schedule will begin to favor Sanders. I'll get back to that a little later in the show. Although many students canvassed for political candidates, Biden is one of the only top Democratic contenders without a student group registered at the university. Biden won the Minnesota vote at 38.5% around midnight. Associated Press called the race for the former vice president less than an hour after polls closed. Biden struggled to build support among university students, only winning about 10 to 20% of voters at the same polling places around campus. Warren polled in similar percentages to Biden in most polling places. Sanders gained 61% of the vote in the First Congressional Lutheran Church and 8th in Southeast and Street Southeast in Marcy Homes, 69% at Van Cleve Park in Southeast Como. Biden came in second at Marcy Homes Church with 20% of the vote when Warren was the runner-up at Van Cleve. So where did all the voters for Biden come from? The geographic breakdown shows Biden dominated the Twin Cities suburbs in greater Minnesota, while Sanders won the cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul by healthy margins. He also got the most votes in the area of the city of Duluth. Despite Sanders' vote hauls in the state's two largest cities, Sanders couldn't collect enough votes where to propel his victory statewide. This is a – there is a very clear urban-rural divide here in regards to the Democratic preference. And it's someone – I live in Hopkins. I can tell you I knew that Bernie was not selling in the suburbs like – people thought he was. I know this. And I will say this, though. I still didn't think Biden was going to win. I thought it was going to be Elizabeth Warren was going to win.
It kind of came out of nowhere.
I thought Klobuchar would do, I mean, I think, I thought Klobuchar even, you know, with the early votes would be there, would win a decent percentage. But I never dreamed Biden, because have you seen, did you see any Biden ads? Let me ask you this, Eric. Did you see?
No, I don't think I saw a single one. I don't think I saw a single Biden bumper sticker or sign.
CBS last night, I was watching CBS News Plus. They had their streaming service going. And I was watching their projections. And she made the point. She goes, Biden won Massachusetts and Minnesota. In Massachusetts, he spent $0. In Minnesota, he spent like $6,000. That was it. And every morning that I'm at the Y, I'm sitting there watching like Fox 9 or the Care 11 or something like that. And Warren, Biden, Bloomberg, Warren, Biden, Bernie, Bernie, Warren, Bloomberg, Bernie, Warren, Bloomberg. That's all you saw. So, yeah, that was a surprise. I was really shocked by that. 952-946-6205. Jennifer is in Stillwater. She wants to chime in. Now, if you don't, we're going to go back in time here to Monday. Really quick, don't put her on quite yet. I want to remind everyone. She called up, and we were talking about Bernie, who clearly still does have a lot of problems in the southeastern United States. The fact that which has been proven by South Carolina and Alabama and North Carolina and Virginia, if you consider Virginia a southern state still, and Tennessee and Arkansas. This was not exactly unknown. This is the same problem he had in 2016. And as a matter of fact, I posted an article from him in 2016 where he said the southeastern states don't matter. What you want to believe in the general election is irrelevant. To win the primary, to win the presidential nomination, you have to win caucuses and primaries in every state. And I went back and listened to the show, and Jennifer called in on Monday, and this is before Super Tuesday, and said, well, there's still the Confederacy. They shouldn't matter. Now, she didn't clarify that she was talking about the general election. She was just saying we were talking about the primaries and the caucuses when she called in and she said they didn't matter, which is what blew my top, because here we are once again. This is how you guys lost in 2016, was the southeastern United States. You had 4 years to kind of get your game plan in place. And after the results of yesterday, it doesn't look like it's the case. Jennifer is in Stillwater. She wants to chime back in. Welcome on in, Jennifer.
Matt, you don't get to put words in my mouth.
I listened to the show. Jennifer, I listened to the show myself.
It's on the Facebook Live stream.
It's on the SoundCloud page too, Jennifer. We were talking about the primaries and caucuses, and you said they're the Confederacy. They shouldn't matter.
Yes, they are the Confederacy.
And
can I talk now?
No, listen to me. You're saying Jennifer, it's my radio show. Go get a radio show if you want to do this. Here's what I'm going to say to you. Are you saying the African Americans that vote DFL Democrat in the South are the Confederacy?
What I'm saying.
No, I want you to answer that question. Do you think the African Americans in the South
Again,
are the Confederacy?
Can I answer the question, please?
You wanted to skip past it. This is a yes or no. Do you think African American? No,
because I didn't say that.
You
what
said
I
the
said
South
was
you
the
said,
Confederacy. Go and listen to the tape.
You said the Southeastern United States was the Confederacy. You didn't clarify that whites are the blacks. You just said they're all the Confederacy.
No.
Yes, what you did say.
No.
Yes, what you meant. Now, let's hear what you meant to say.
Why don't you play? No. Why? All you have to do is play the audio.
Well, you can go listen to the audio. It's on SoundCloud. Jennifer, why don't you tell us what you meant to say?
No, it's on the Facebook page.
Well, then, Jennifer, then are we done talking then?
No.
Okay,
we're
go
not
ahead.
Done talking.
All right. Well, so, why don't you tell everyone what you meant to say?
What I said was that I said, thank you, Matt. You are totally correct about the primary delegates, that you cannot win the Democratic primary without the delegates. And I repeated, I think I said three times that you were correct.
Yes.
Then I said, I am talking about the general election. And that's when I referred to these places as the Confederacy. And that the Confederacy, meaning the white people in those states, all vote for Trump. And they voted for Reagan, and they vote for, you know, Bush, and all these people. And it's no different. And it has nothing, and those are white people that I'm talking about. And
but you did. You're adding a lot of context. Jennifer, I'm done with you. Jennifer, I'm done. You're adding a lot of context to what you said. This is what I said by what you meant to say. I understand what you meant to say, but in your frustration that I wasn't talking about Bernie being the Jesus incarnate come back to earth. You came out there and you said the southern states are just the Confederacy. They shouldn't matter. Which is, once again, the reason why Bernie didn't win in 2016. The reason why Bernie didn't win in 2016. And you now saying, oh, well, what I really meant was the white people in the South, not the black people. You wonder why Bernie Sanders gets his ass kicked in African-American communities. It's that stuff. That's just dishonest. If you want to win this game, you've got to play the game. You can't treat it like a buffet. You've had 4 years, 4 years to get out there and appeal to the African Americans in the South. You had 4 years, and he knew he was going to run again. He knew he was going to be there, and he didn't do it. Yesterday, this is story USA Today. If you saw the USA Today story, young voters in the South just did not show up for Bernie Sanders. He didn't put a game plan in place in the southeastern United States again. But I'm going to go back. If you don't want to play the game, then don't start playing the game. And then demand the rules get changed halfway through it because you don't like how the game is going. This is simple. It's real easy. Every state has a primary. Every state has a caucus. And you have to compete. Once again, let me repeat the numbers from yesterday. It was California gave Bernie something like a 65-delegate win. 30 of those went back in Alabama alone. It was, 97, 98 delegates in between Virginia, North Carolina, and Alabama. Those three states alone gave Biden far more delegates than Sanders. Far more. Don't you dare come onto my show and when I call you out correctly, that what you meant to say was that, you know, I don't think during the general election that those states should matter. I don't think when I was saying the Confederacy, I was only saying that I was about white people in the South. But the reality is this is exactly the problem. You want to know why the suburbs of Minneapolis-St. Paul did not vote for Bernie Sanders? Because they don't see Bernie Sanders going in to help Angie Craig. They don't see Bernie Sanders going out to help Dean Phillips. And they sure as heck don't see Bernie Sanders going on down into the southeastern United States and helping candidates in the black districts down there. Especially when his own people are saying, ah, that's just the Southeast, and who cares about them? You wonder how Trump wins. It's that crap right there. The southeastern United States matter. And that's just that. But it's just, it is this idea that, I get it. You are frustrated. You're angry. You wanted to make a point. It did not come out the way you intended it. You trying to backtrack and re-say what you said, I'm sorry. We're not going to just discount the entire southeastern United States. And we're sure as heck, I'm sure as heck not going to, if you want to have revisionist history, I don't have time for that, okay? Hold on, Jim in St. Louis Park. I'll get your call later after the break. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for more than 25 years. My company has been awarded more than 5 national awards for craftsmanship. You won't find somebody who loves their job more than me. I've devoted my life to my family, my craft, my business, and to the people who trust me with their projects. And I'm happier for doing it. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com to learn more.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Stop in at Next Chapter Booksellers to find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. They also have lots of opportunities to meet authors like Jacob Tobia on Wednesday, March 4th at 7 p.m. Tobia has quickly established himself as a breakout voice for the non-binary, genderqueer, and trans communities. Tobia's nuanced, glitter-encrusted memoir, Sissy, tells us about their contemporary experience of gender nonconformity. That's Next Chapter Booksellers, located south of 94, across from McAllister, and at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
You want a fast way to save hundreds of dollars? It's easy with Rudy Luther Toyota. Start with the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores, as well as discounted car washes. Plus, Rudy Luther offers 2 years of maintenance included with every new Toyota purchase. And remember, Rudy Luther Toyota wants to buy your cars and trucks, paying you top dollar. Find out how much you can save by visiting Rudy Luther Toyota today, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Eric, you said you understand what Jennifer's trying to get at, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I'm talking about what she said.
Okay, I think that what she meant to imply, I guess.
Well, that's why I kept saying to her, what did you mean to say? What you meant to say? And that's because you there. I understand you're upset and frustrated. But you coming on out and just saying the southeastern United States don't matter. Okay, so when we lose the House and the Senate because we didn't do any campaigning at all down there, and so we handed – how many states is that? That's, what, 14 states? So 28 senators and how many House reps? 120 or so, and just give them to the Republican Party because they don't matter?
I don't think that's what the argument she was making is.
When someone tells me those states shouldn't matter, they don't vote with us during the general election, what do you think that means?
I think that it means that she is kind of confused why the political party of that state that will not go for the Democratic candidate in the actual election should count as much as other states where it will.
But then all of a sudden we're getting down to a point where it's the problem with the process is creating a system where only California and New York pick it. And this is the way. You have to have a candidate that appeals, you know, across the country. And regardless of whether Idaho, which is probably the most conservative state, whether those people in there vote Democrat or not, you still have a Democratic Party there. Now, yeah. It doesn't have a lot of delegates. And once again, California is the enchilada. Bernie did very well there because he put time in there. But by not putting any time into Alabama with only 62 delegates, handing a 30 delegate lead to Biden, not only do you not give yourself an argument down there, but you clearly have poisoned the water hole.
Yeah.
And you've got to get down there these people clearly don't feel as if you're going to do that much for them. And you just not liking that's not you, that's not me, that's not the Confederacy. That's just, he had 4 years to do a better game plan and he didn't do it.
Yeah, you'll find no argument for me.
Well, for the life of me, this is, you want to get mad at me about numbers.
Well, I think she was mad that you were implying she was racist.
I didn't say she was racist. No, it's not racist. Because, I mean, I'm just saying this. When you say the entire southeastern United States is basically the Confederacy, the first thing I say is, well, are we going to call the African Americans that are there and basically, call them, say that they are, Confederacy? Of course not. That's my point. And there are a lot of African Americans down there that we put in good Democrats into these seats. And so to just go on out there and say, well, they shouldn't matter because it's the southeastern United States. Well, no, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to go down that road. And I can understand your frustration with that. But you have to have. Let's look at it, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Do you go on out there and say, well, outstate Minnesota, they vote conservative out there, so why are we giving their votes? Why are their votes mattering? Why are we counting their votes? They're all conservatives out there. Yeah, but they're Democrats too. You don't just erase the parts of the country which are not going to help your cause. Do Bernie Sanders supporters want to get rid of the suburbs? Well, there's a lot of suburbs, Matt, where they're conservatives, so should they matter that much? You know what we should? The college area. Boy, oh boy, God, there's a lot of great Democrats down there, so every vote down there should count as 20 votes. No, I'm not going to go play that game. That is not the game that was being played. That's that when you started to play the game. Do we have any of the lines going right now? No.
Maybe.
Okay. Shay, this you? No. Okay, so no. We just had a little bit of a phone problem there. 952-946-6205. Sorry that you got disconnected if you got disconnected. No, the problem that you have is that the game is this. It was the same game in 2016. You have to compete in every state. And it's great to be able to point at California and say, boy, he did great, which he did. But you can't then turn around and go, but the Southeast, they shouldn't matter as much. Or that we shouldn't care about them in the general election. Do you want to know, I think, for everyone out there who's a Bernie supporter, I think honestly, and I said this last night with the Devil's Advocate guys, I honestly feel as if the biggest problem that people have is he going to actually help down-ticket Democrats? And the reality is, he'll be there every day for Ilhan Omar. But I don't think he'd be down there for Dean Phillips. And I don't think he'd be down there for Angie Craig. And I don't think he'd be out there for the Democrats running in Minnesota 1 or Minnesota 8. Unless they pledged allegiance to Bernie. And, I mean, I would like to see how Bernie is even going to go out to someone like a Dean Phillips and say, I've called this guy part of the problem. He's part of the problem over the Democratic leadership, but he's got my full support. I mean, how are you going to do that? And I understand, and this is something that I've heard from multiple Democrats, is the ability of Bernie to basically carry the rest of the state. You have got the House that we need to maintain the Democratic leadership. You have Senate seats you need to pick up, and which, by the way, you're kissing away every Senate seat in the southeastern United States, including that one in North Carolina we got a chance to pick up. Because, the southeastern states don't matter, I guess. The House seats, the individual legislators, we need those to swing to the left. So no, I've got zero tolerance. I had zero tolerance for it in 2016 when people were talking about, oh, the South shouldn't matter because they always vote Republican. And I have zero tolerance for today, period. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Tell you what, when we come on back, we'll have Stein, I imagine, when we do return here. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. Our station has worked with Barbara from WYSIWYG Web Design for years on everything from logo to print design and especially for developing our website. She does great work and is great to work with, listening to what our goals and design ideas were while offering new, innovative ideas to create the website we are proud of today. Barbara made sure she understood our station, our goals, and our mission before she started working on our site and made suggestions to help control the cost. Plus, she's friendly, which set us at ease. I recommend Barbara at WYSIWYG Web Design because I know she will deliver an attractive, professional website within the budget you have. She is a local independent business that specializes in helping other local businesses achieve their website and design goals. She can work with nearly any budget and create anything from simple sites to robust custom functionality. To find out more about the company AM950 Trust, go to WYSIWYGWebDesign.com. Spelled out just like it sounds, WYSIWYGWebDesign.com.
With the warmer weather coming, it's time to get that new Toyota vehicle you've wanted at Rudy Luther Toyota. Everyone loves the RAV4, and Rudy Luther has both, the hot-selling 2020 RAV4 and the wildly popular RAV4 Hybrid. Both have inspiring design, intuitive technology, and smart style, and Rudy Luther has 250 available. And test drive the completely redesigned Highlander. Discover more quality for family time with the refined interior and the striking exterior. Stop by Rudy Luther Toyota today, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.ca. OOP.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. By the way, if you are trying to call, apparently the phone lines. Eric, what did you do?
Oh, I got in the wires.
So we've had actually quite a few people trying to call through, but every time we try to bring them up, it's dumping. So that's not on us. 952-946-6205. We'll try to get that fixed. But eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week is Hazel's Northeast. Stop on by. Johnson, 29th and Johnson, Northeast Minneapolis. Great lunch, great dinner. You'll enjoy it. It's fantastic. Hazel's Northeast. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. Find his books over at Next Chapter Books as well as totallyiowa.com. Iowa Business Report is the business report there. And, of course, he's joining us from KXEL, where he brings us the Iowa Politics Report. Hi, Jeff.
Pay your phone bill. How hard is this?
Well, it's the conspiracy. I can already tell you conspiracy theories are already whirling. Because I've had to deal with – okay. I want to – your first of all, your thoughts on what happened last night with all these states. I mean, clearly the – and you and I have talked about this. It's very foolish to predict – after one or two states, who is going to be the Democratic nominee? Super Tuesday really starts to clear the herd.
Well, it does, but this was even more unique, obviously, than in past years. When you have two candidates who had made it on the debate stage, we're not talking, with due respect, of Tulsi Gabbard here. We were talking about Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg. They fold their tents and show up at a unity rally the night before Super Tuesday. I can't think of another situation that's comparable. And then you throw Beto O'Rourke in for the five supporters that he might have had since it was in Texas. Sure, let Beto come along. Let's try to rehabilitate him. The let's stop Bernie at all costs movement was in full display, on full display, and it obviously played itself out. But but you can only play that card once. One of the things I mentioned in the Iowa Politics Report today is Klobuchar and Buttigieg arguably had some impact to help Joe Biden, because if you had not yet voted and you were going to go in and vote for Amy or vote for Pete, well, you just got told last minute, no, vote for Uncle Joe. And so you're very likely to do it because it's right up against the time of the deadline of the primary. Had they either one of them dropped out 3 days before, a week before, whatever, no impact whatsoever. So, yes, they got the Super Tuesday impact that the moderates and the Biden folks wanted. But what card are you going to play next time? Because you've just eaten all the seed corn on this one.
You and I, one of the things I like about when you and I talk about multiple states being in primaries and caucuses, one of the things I like to talk about is that there are some states that hurt more than others. Mm-hmm. And you can't deny Minnesota and Massachusetts going to Biden. Those were states which I thought it was either going to be Bernie or Elizabeth Warren if Klobuchar wasn't in the race in Minnesota. I mean, I was just as shocked as everyone else that Biden won Minnesota. But Massachusetts, you know, this is – it's not only, you know, borders Bernie's state. Not only the home state of one of the candidates, but to go in there and get the win with a state with a lot of delegates. Those two states – he's got to figure out if Bernie is going to continue. He's got to figure out what state is Biden supposed to win that I can take those delegates back from.
Well, the big issue is, and this was something that was mentioned even at the time of the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. We're talking about this great showing by Bernie Sanders, and that is true in all of those cases. But what if you added up all the others? In other words, the not Bernie progressives. So if you took the Sanders and Warren folks and assumed that that is one cluster of voters, and if you took the others and said that's one cluster, well, where's the majority show up? And it was suggested that, yes, Sanders on his own had a lot of strength, but once there started to be some coalescing, then that was going to expose him. He needed more people in the race, right? He needs more people in the race to keep Biden down. Well, Warren is making no signs of giving up, screaming that she's going to have a brokered convention. And I say screaming only it's the refrain. I'm not trying to make a sexist or gender-laced statement. You know, Bernie is screaming about how he's going to win everything. Well, as long as you have people voting for Warren, I think that takes away from Bernie. And so if the coalescing doesn't happen on the progressive side, then your point is very well taken. Where is he going to steal one from Joe? Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, when you win the ones you're supposed to win, no one cares. It's only when it's a bit of a surprise. This is why the bump from Saturday meant nothing for Biden. He was supposed to win South Carolina going away, and he did. But it was only a matter of how poorly the others did that led to whatever agreements or promises have been made, so that the field just shrunk rapidly before Super Tuesday. And then Bloomberg's foray into it, boy, he sure did not have the stomach to stay in stay in another $500 million.
We'll get to America Samoa's favorite son in here in just a second here. But By the way,
Tulsi had a very close second in American Samoa.
Well, I mean, it explains where she's at. I mean, no one else has seen her. She's out in American Samoa. The other lesson here, in 2016, Bernie Sanders did not take the southeastern United States seriously. And as a matter of fact, there's multiple interviews with him saying those states really shouldn't count, which was irrelevant. That's the process you got into when you decided you wanted to run for president, which it is.
Well, I know, but I always love those. It's like, well, those states shouldn't count. Well, they do.
Yeah, but, funny story. It's like I know you should have read the buyer agreement when you started this process. The California massive win for Bernie. Can't deny that was a nice win, and he got, I think, 60 some delegates advantage there.
Yes.
In the states of Alabama, North Carolina, and Virginia, Biden got a 90 delegate advantage. He took three states which should never really be compared, being able to neutralize necessarily a California. And because Bernie did so poorly in those three states, once again, and this piggies back on South Carolina, I should also mention Tennessee, Arkansas were in there. But the reality is those three states, Alabama, North Carolina, and Virginia, those three states not only counterbalanced California, they got him an advantage.
It also then comes down to general elections.
Yes.
Okay? Because is there any way under the sun that Donald Trump wins California in November?
No.
Okay. So that's nice that Bernie won a state that Democrats are going to win, even if they put a crash test dummy up as the candidate. All right? So if Bernie is not doing well in states that are in play vis-a-vis Biden, is that playing into Joe's I'm the most electable mantra, which he's the most electable, but it was the first primary he'd ever won was Saturday. Now he's picked up more, quite obviously. But that's the thing. And as you look toward the general election, this was part of what Bloomberg was doing. He was going to states that said, well, that's fine. You go to these other states. No, but nobody cares. This state will matter in November, and that's why I'm here. Well, yes, that's a nice strategy, except you forgot you have to have the nomination first. Mm-hmm. So Bernie can clean up in California all he wants. But if you put Biden versus Trump in California, isn't that still a blue state?
Of course.
In which case, then the Biden wins may be more important because of the fact that if he is the nominee, he's got a little better chance of winning those closer states because he won them when it was just a partisan race.
How come Bernie, who resonates quite well with young voters, with Latino voters, why has he failed to resonate and ignite the fire under the African-American voter?
Well, it would appear also that Super Tuesday shows that he may be firing up young people at rallies, but that may not translate to votes.
No, I referenced the USA Today story myself already, is that the young voters just – they showed up in Minneapolis over at the University of Minnesota campus. But you know, in the southern states where they were hoping to get a one or two wins down there, they just stayed home.
And so to your very good question about why doesn't Bernie resonate with that group? Well, I suppose you look at it and say, what have you done for us? And us is a very broad phrase. I'm not trying to be very narrow. But if you're Joe Biden, you can talk about various pieces of legislation. You can talk about being the vice president to the first president of color in American history. You can talk about a whole host of things and say, these are my achievements. But one of the rather flippant dismissals of Bernie Sanders is to say he's not put forth legislation. He's got some post offices renamed, and that's about it. And so he's a fighter and leader of a revolution. But when you then say, what have you done for me? How do I know you're going to be able to deliver the goods? There's not an awful lot of there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's great rhetoric. And so, again, for any group of voters, if you say, what have you done to show you understand the plight of people similarly situated, he doesn't have a connection with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure he has, and I'm sure some of your listeners may object to this, and I respect that. I don't know that he has a direct connection with individual voters. He has the broad connection, you know, and talking about I'm going to help the middle class, I'm going to help working people, but I don't know that he has the interpersonal connection in the same way that some of these other candidates do. And that's why the other candidates are doing better, because I hate to be so trite as to say we look at people, you know, and say, well, I'd like to have a beer with that person. Well, most people I've ever had beer with I wouldn't trust to run the country. But regardless, the concept is, does it feel like they can relate? And Bernie's hot, right? I mean, he is a hot figure. And so therefore that does kind of put up an additional wall in trying to relate to people.
There's a problem with his campaign. I don't know if you saw the footage. Bloomberg pulled out of the race, what, at about 8:30 this morning?
Something like that, yes, sir.
And there was a press conference that Bernie had this afternoon, where the reporters told him, oh, by the way, Bloomberg's out, and he had no idea. How in the heck does his campaign not tell him one of his major competitors has withdrawn from the race?
I spent most of my day at an event called the Hawkeye Farm Show.
Wow.
And it's yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I'm doing interviews. I'm doing my radio and TV segments from a remote location. and I knew all about it. Okay? So my point is, I was pretty well distracted today, and I knew all about it. So how is it that you had only, going into yesterday, five candidates left, right? Counting Gabbard. So it was Gabbard, Warren, Bloomberg, Sanders, and Biden. There's your five, your final five. 20% of the race drops out and no one tells you before propping you up at a podium? It makes no sense. Being done such a disservice. And if it's a statement, that's one thing. But if it's a news conference, any journalist with, you know, worth her or his salt is going to say, Senator Sanders, you have said that Mike Bloomberg can't buy an election. Apparently he can't because he's giving up. What's your reaction to that? You don't want your candidate to say, he what?
8 hours after, 8 hours or 5 hours, 6 hours after the guy withdrew, you know, and every website in the country had it at the top of their page.
When the night before he had already said, we're reassessing. Okay, when a candidate says, we're going to reassess and we'll have something to say in the morning.
That's over.
Do any of them stay in? I can't think of a single one that stayed in, you know? Yeah. I mean, the most ludicrous news conference of this cycle was Tom Steyer coming to Iowa to call a news conference to say he wasn't running and then winding up changing his mind and running. Until now, he's not running. But, no, how do you do that? And if you're Sanders, how disconnected are you from the outside world? And again, I'm not trying to beat up on Bernie, all right? But the idea is, who didn't know Bloomberg dropped out?
Exactly.
If you have a phone, you know Bloomberg dropped out.
I'm wondering, I'm starting to really speculate, okay, the people that are running his campaign, you know, you knew you had to get into the South. They didn't get in there. They knew they had to figure out how to get African-American voters on their side. They clearly still have an issue with that. And they're not telling him when his competition for the Democratic nomination are withdrawing. There seems to be something wrong with the management cycle in that campaign at this point.
It's very hard, and this is to give them a little credit. It's very hard to be revolutionary and run a revolution when you don't have any experience doing this stuff. But by definition, you don't, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, if you're trying to be nonconformist, then you're not going to act in a way that conforms to the norm. And so they maybe just don't have the experience. But again, you don't need any experience. I mean, I watched Bernie last night. Powerful speech, so powerful he knocked over his water bottle at the end. Mm-hmm. At least nobody stormed the stage this
well,
time.
Well, where Jill Biden basically – Jill Biden and his staffer body slammed. That is a tough campaign, man.
I mean, Rachel Maddow could not get over – the Jill Biden, and so she made, I think, three Karate King Karate Kid references.
She didn't even blink. She didn't even blink. She went right after him.
And sadly, I'm not sure Joe has figured out yet what happened. But yeah. Joe's sister was scared to death. But
yeah.
Then again, she's up there next to Joe. But, anyway. But here's the thing.
Car
I'm
pop.
Watching Bernie. No malarkey here. No, here's Joe getting ready for Super Thursday. And you've got Bernie, and he's just, you know, he's naming off the states, and he's going on. And we've got his wife, and I think it's his son and daughter-in-law and three kids. You know, they're all there in the home area of Vermont. Nobody's got a phone. Nobody's saying, hey, pops. Hey, grandpa. Nothing. Yeah. To be in the bubble.
If you
remember Bernie's comments last year, he said, you know, I'm not running to change the Democratic Party. I'm running to destroy the Democratic Party. We're going to destroy the whole system. But yet you still are trying to get the nomination within the system, and so you kind of need to know who the players are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pile on even more, because why not? It's pile on Wednesday. It's one thing for Bloomberg to get out, but he immediately endorsed Biden.
Yeah.
So isn't it, Senator, Bloomberg's out and 1 and 1A in your headlines, and he's endorsed Biden. Now what? As opposed to putting him up there and making him look, you know, like a 78-year-old guy who's out of touch, which he's not.
It gets hard because there is, you know, yeah, it's and at the very least, you should say, oh, by the way, there's now he's got what was it? Bloomberg had 55 delegates. You know, he's got 55 more delegates now, likely. I mean, they're going to go with Bernie. So, you know, at the very least, just keeping up to date on the numbers would seem to be a good idea. So,
well, it would seem to be a good idea if you actually thought you could win. And one of the problems is they keep feeling, with good reason, that Tom Perez is out to get them. Well, okay, but you can't play martyr the whole way. You've got to still play the game. And then if it doesn't work out, you understand why it didn't work out and that you got taken advantage of, as opposed to just being clueless about how you keep score.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come on back, we're going to run the next 3 weeks because, really, these next 3 weeks, I think, are going to determine who the Democratic nominee is. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein joining us on a post-Super Tuesday recap. It is the Matt McNeil Show right on AM 950.
Is your business being pulled under by a tide of constant threats? Hackers, ransomware, security breaches? What if you had people who could navigate you to safe water, then teach you how to swim? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark with a unique offer, a free security assessment. We'll uncover hidden threats, hidden costs, and hidden opportunities to help navigate your business. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment.
Hey, Twin Cities, are you trying to move your side hustle to your main hustle? Having trouble leveling up your back office? Getting stuck on how to find investors so you can secure that bag? Then you need to come to Connect Up Summit Friday, March 13th and Saturday, March 14th at Metro State in St. Paul. Connect Up is a two-day summit offering hands-on workshops and connects small businesses with each other, local investors, as well as other local and national resources in the Minnesota entrepreneur ecosystem. Connect Up sells out every year, so get your ticket today. Go to www.connectupmn.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, the latest from the state capitol, Minnesota's response to coronavirus concerns, and the Big Ten Commissioner's visit to the University of Minnesota campus. That and much more. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us post-Super Tuesday roundup. All right, so in a week here, next Tuesday, you've got March 10th, Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, and Washington. We're going to play this from the Bernie side. What he's got to do to really make up here. He's got to take two of the big three, which are either Washington, Michigan, or Missouri. Washington, I think he's already got. I think that's kind of his territory. He needs to win that by 20 points. He needs a solid win. I'm going to say Missouri's out of reach. I think that as a kind of half southern state that they basically are going to go for Biden. But Michigan, right. He needs to have a decisive victory in Michigan. Because you already know that if Mississippi goes the way the rest of the southeastern states have gone, that's going to be, you know, potentially 20 delegates right there for Biden.
Absolutely. And again, Biden talks a lot about unions. Bernie talks about workers. Mm-hmm. That's a key distinction. And in a place like Michigan, with all of its labor issues over time and factories closing, et cetera, to me that's prime ground for Bernie. Right. If ever there's a place where his message could be well received, it's there. Then go to the point we discussed, Matt, earlier. Is Michigan in play in November? And if so, then Bernie Dagon well better win, or else he's going to lose the electability argument. Because if all he does is win states that are well in the column that, again, a trained monkey could win, that's no benefit. That doesn't help electability. But, Michigan would be such a huge, huge thing for him, for his campaign. And keep in mind, what is it, like 96 hours ago we said Joe Biden was dead in the water.
I didn't say that.
No, I understand. But, I mean, you know, this thing, the sweeps, right?
Yeah.
Of, you know, the pendulum back and forth. Okay, so now we've got four people running. I don't know. I'll plead ignorance. I don't know when the next debate is supposed to be. Probably not for a while because of these all of the events. But you've got very few people, and this is where it becomes – you know, the final two squaring off, mm-hmm. and you either have to convince those who are uncommitted, or in Bernie's case, you say, without it coming across as being another no female can win, I didn't say that kind of thing, is to say, look, your vote needs to count, Michigan, and I am the best candidate positioned to take your issues. So, again, what he's basically saying is to Warren supporters, vote for me because she ain't going to win. Mm-hmm. And you got to say it delicately, and delicately is not Bernie's strong suit.
I don't think she's going to be in the race by the end of the week, if you want to know the truth. Let's go to March 17th.
Well, how does she get out? I mean, can she be forced out, or does she have enough money, just enough money, and the power of conviction to say, you know, damn, the torpedo's still full steam ahead?
I don't, you know, there comes a point when Bloomberg had the money. He just decided, he realized there's no point in trying anymore. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Ohio. If Bernie doesn't win three of those four states, I think it's over because you got Georgia coming up next. And if Georgia goes the way the other southeastern states are going to be, it's going to be a nightmare. Florida, I think, is already gone because of his comments about Fidel Castro. Can he win Illinois, Ohio, and Arizona?
He can. But again, he's going to have to really turn out disenfranchised voters. And he might start looking at the ones that he had 4 years ago who then went and voted for Trump, get them back into the fold. These numbers, Matt, showing that Bernie is doing worse now than he did in 2016, that's got to be frightening for that campaign because you wanted to grow this thing. And where's the growth?
Yeah. I think one of the things that wasn't talked about, and we don't have time to get into it, is the electability down ticket with Bernie or versus Biden. And I think that definitely weighed on in the suburbs. So
you're right.
We'll have more on this. Obviously, next time you and I are talking, it's after that Tuesday with Michigan, Missouri, and Washington, and we'll have updates on that. Jeff Stein, once again, I'll get the Iowa Politics Up report a little bit later on. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Have a good one, man.
Take care. We are back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.